"You make it sound delightful, Father," Corus said dryly, and Tanner laughed. "The writ says truth is always better than lies, my lord, and trying to convince ourselves it'll be better than we know it will isn't going to make us any happier when we're stuck in some miserable little village inn in the Wishbones waiting for a blizzard to pass, now is it?" "No, I don't imagine it is," Corus agreed. And after all, it wasn't as if Tanner were telling him anything he hadn't already realized. "The good news, such as it is," Tanner said, "is that I think you'll be in for a bit of a treat once we finally do get to Lakeside." "Indeed," Corus cocked his head, and Tanner nodded. "It's been a hard winter, my lord, and according to the semaphore, the lake's already frozen pretty hard. By the time we get there, we won't have to worry about hitting any open water on our way across." "Well," he corrected himself with a judicious air, which was only slightly undermined by the twinkle in his eyes. "We probably won't have to worry about it. You can never be entirely certain when a lead's going to open up unexpectedly."
"So we definitely will be taking an ice boat from Lakeview to Zion?" Corus shook his head just a bit doubtfully. "I've been to sea often enough, but I've never gone ice sailing."
"That we will, and I think you'll find the experience interesting," Tanner assured him. The underpriest had obviously noticed Corus's mixed feelings, and he smiled again. "Most people do, especially the first time they make the trip. Hornet's quite a bit smaller than Snow Lizard, of course, but she's much faster if I do say so myself."
"Ah?" Corus cocked an eyebrow. "That sounded rather possessive, Father. Should I take it you're going to be my captain across the lake, as well as shepherding me safely from here to Lakeview?"
"Indeed, my lord," Tanner gave him a sort of sketchy half-bow. "And I can assure you that I have never, yet, lost a passenger during a winter passage."
"And I assure you that I am suitably comforted by your reassurance, Father, even if it did seem to contain at least a hint of qualification."
Tanner's smile became a grin, and Corus felt himself relaxing a bit more. He still wasn't looking forward to the journey, but Hollis Tanner was about as far as anyone could have gotten from the grimly focused Schulerite keeper he'd expected to encounter for the final stage of his journey. "Seriously, my lord," Tanner continued, "Hornet is much faster than you may have been assuming. She doesn't have a galley's hull drag, so the same wind will push her a lot faster, and the prevailing winds will be in our favor this time of year, not to mention the fact that we're far enough into the winter now that the ice has been pretty well charted and marked, so I can afford to give her more of her head than I could earlier in the year. I won't be surprised if we average as much as 30 miles an hour during the lake crossing itself."
"Really?"
Despite himself, Corus couldn't hide how impressed he was by the speed estimate, or by the fact that it radically revised downward his original estimate of how long it would take to cross Lake Pei.
Of course, that was a two-edged sword. It meant he'd spend less time shivering and miserable on the ice, but it also meant he'd be meeting with Chancellor Trenaire and the Grand Inquisitor that much more quickly as well. And it wasn't going to make the month-long journey from Fairstock to Lakeview any less arduous than the underpriest had already promised.
"I suppose I should spend some time thanking Langhorne I'm still young enough to have a realistic prospect of surviving the experience," he thought sourly.
"Really, my lord," Tanner assured him, answering his last question. "In fact, running with the wind in a good lake blizzard, I've had her up to better than 50 miles per hour. That's average speed over a 20-mile course, too. So I'm sure we were higher than that, at least in bursts, on more than one occasion. I'll try not to inflict any weather quite that spectacular on you this time around. It's not exactly something for the faint of heart, or, as my mother would put it, for the reasonably sane," he winked. "Still, I think I can promise you'll find the crossing memorable." The underpriest smiled with obvious pride in his vessel, then turned his head, watching Sea Blanket emerge onto the quay once more with the final piece of baggage. He gazed at the valet with a thoughtful expression for several seconds, then looked back at Corus,
and there was an almost conspiratorial gleam in his eye. "I realize, my lord, that you undoubtedly wish to complete your journey as quickly as possible. I have no doubt your impatience to set forth again is greater than ever, in light of the current inclement weather and the obviously strenuous nature of the voyage you've just completed. I'm afraid, however, that I'm not entirely satisfied with the lizard team reserved for the first leg of our journey. Not only that, but I've been having a few second thoughts about our planned stopping points along the way. I've come to the conclusion that the entire trip could have been a bit better planned and coordinated, and I think we'll probably complete it more quickly in the long run if I spend a little time tweaking my present arrangements. I apologize profusely for the delay, but as the person charged with delivering you safe and sound, I really wouldn't feel comfortable setting out on a journey as long as this one without first making certain all of our arrangements are going to be as problem-free as possible."
"Well, we certainly couldn't have you feeling pressured into anything precipitous, Father," Corus replied, making no effort to hide his sudden gratitude, "and certainly prepared to defer to your professional judgment. We can't have you skimping on your preparations if you feel any of them could stand improvement, now can we? By all means, see to it before we set out."
"I appreciate your willingness to be so understanding, my lord. Assuming the weather gives us a window for the semaphore, I expect tidying things up should take no more than, oh..." Tanner looked at the Earl consideringly, like an assayer, almost as if he could physically measure Corus's fatigue. "A day or two, possibly three. In fact, we'd better count on three. So I'm afraid you're probably going to have to spend at least 4 nights here in Fairstock. I hope that won't disappoint you too deeply."
"Believe me, Father," Corus said, looking him in the eye, "I believe I'll manage to bear up under my disappointment."